finish Hilchot Averus, Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I'd like to hear from the Avreichim if they want to do Tav Aleph, Tav Beis, or start already Chazara, Erev Shavuos already then. So that we'll talk in each session. Okay. It, that's also up to the Talmud. I would love to do it, but I want to. That's right. Correct.
Not only from Bailey, but any.
That's right.
Every year.
And it would be nice to do it afterwards, but I'm definitely interested in your feedback. I say this all the time to Shana Beth Boyd. I don't say it as much to Avrichim, but there are times you can even say Avrichim. One of my great rabbis, Rabbi Braunspiegel, used to say, "I go with supply and demand." So. So it depends what the Talmidim want. Previously, in the previous booklet, Hilchos Avelos number 8, we had discussed the Halachos Avelos Shloshim. And in discussing Avelos Shloshim, we did touch, of course, on cases where that Isser extends as well into Yud Beis Chodesh. And we touched on some Halachos, but we didn't deal with Yud Beis Chodesh in a formal way, and we didn't deal with it conceptually. We just touched on some of the halachas. So what I've decided to do, Be'ezer Hashem, is to start again with the Yud Beis Chodesh conceptually, and then circle back to some of the halachas that we had actually glossed over a little bit. It's interesting, Ramosha, you stopped me last time, and I hadn't discussed very much of Giur. And I realized that's why I hadn't discussed much about Giyurs, because I was sort of thinking about putting it more into Yud Beis Chodesh, and Amir Tashem now will discuss much more in regards to Halachas of Giyur, Yud Beis Chodesh. On the outline, you'll see that we have 5 different Halachas that are unique to Avelos of Aviv V'Ima. Just to touch on them briefly, we've already touched on almost all of them, but again, to put this in the appropriate framework in Shin Pei He Aleph, where we discussed the Isser of Shela Shalom. So there we saw that the Isser of Shela Shalom applies to Aviv V'Imo, and the context of the halacha goes as follows. We learned what is permissible during Shiva with Shela Shalom, what's permissible in Shloshim, and the Mechaber concludes in Shin Pei He Aleph, Aval Av V'Imo Shol B'Shalom Acherim Achar Shiva. So he could ask others how they're doing after Shiva. So that's one halacha that applies of Shel Shalom. The detail of Shel Shalom we've already discussed previously. We've been mefalpel in the past. Number 2 is Begadim Chadashim in Shin Pei Tes Sif Gimel. We touched on this quite briefly, and it's important to delineate this point that not only is there an Isser of Kibbutz and Giyutz that we discussed in regards to Shloshim and Shiva, but the Ramah adds in the end of Siv Gimel, V'chein lasos begadim chadashim avol nagu Isser kol Yud Beis Chodesh. So this is what's referred to today in America as shopping. In other words, that it's prohibited to have by begadim chadashim. Lasos begadim chadashim is not only the Isser Asiyah, but also to buy new clothing. So the minig is for kvod of V'ima to be included also in Yud Beis Chodesh. Presumably the same Isser applies in Shloshim as well, but it's extended into Yud Beis Chodesh. Skipping Gimel on our list, we have, of course, the Isser of Simcha that we discussed in detail at the end of last year in Shin Tzadi Aleph, many issues of Simchas Mireus. And finally, we discussed the custom, and that came up backhandedly in the end of Shin Tzadi Gimel, and that is the Shinui Makom, which applies to Yud Beis Chodesh when it comes to Aviv V'Ima. So that was 4. And the 5th is the Isser of Tisporos. And that we're going to do, Be'ezer Hashem, once again inside, because we really didn't go through most of the poskim, even though I answered a couple of your questions and I made a couple of references. But now, Be'ezer Hashem, let's do it a little bit more comprehensively. In Simin Shin Tzadi Siv Gimel, we learn, we discuss, Al kol ha-meisim migalech la'achar shloshim yom, al aviv ve'al imo ad sheyigaru bo chavero. So when it comes to aviv imo, there's a new shear, the Gemara tells us in Eilu Megalchin. The Gemara tells us that the shear is, as we saw on Chav Beis Amid Beis, is the shear of Giur, that the friend protests. So we touched on what the shiur of Giyur was previously. I'd like to hold back from that shiur and first begin with the Ramah and then talk about the shiur of Giyur a little bit more. The Ramah says as follows: Ve'ein haregel mahani impoga kodem shigeru bo chaveiro tur. And then they point out, Va'ayim Barachayim Simin Tavkuf Memches. The Piskei Tshuva points out that this already was said by the Mechaber in Tavkuf Memches, and this is not a Machlokas Mechaber and Ramah. And that is, both the Mechaber and the Ramah agree that, let's say you have an instance where his hear has not reached the state that his friends would protest, nevertheless, the halacha is that he needs to continue to let it grow, despite, here's the critical line, despite the fact that the regel has come. In other words, I would have had a hava mina, that the halacha is that once you have regel, since we say regel is mevatel shloshim, so certainly regel here would say that you could cut one's hair. The halacha is not that way. The halacha is ein regel mahani impoga kodem sheyigaru bo chavera. So you need to reach the state of giyur. Similarly, the Gilyar Marsha points out, according to some, and the Gilyar Marsha seems to conclude this way, even though others might disagree, the Gilyar Marsha in Dibra Maskel Ve'eino Regel Mahani writes, V'chein Einoi Mevatel Shloishim Le'inyin Sheyoel Gara Eladino Acher HaRegel Kishar Ovel Tok Shloishim D'Gara Lo Mahani Be. So the Gilyon Marsha says as follows, that you can't say that you'll have a heter of regel for tisporet and say, wait a second, the regel is here, and since a regel is coming, so then in such a case, the regel should be matir, just like the regel has the ability to break shloshim. We're going to discuss later on that if the fellow began shloshim, and he was knowing some halachos of shloshim, so then, in such a case, the regel breaks it. So maybe you would say the same thing over here. He was already knowing some type of a gadol pera, and now regel comes, so now he should be able to cut his ear. Says the Gilyon Marsha that it doesn't work, that the halacha is that you need to have a full shloshim of gadol pera. You need to have a full shloshim in which the person lets his hair grow. So now we're no longer talking about other vimo. Now we're talking, or not only other vimo. Other vimo, the Ramah already took care of when the Ramah said, "Ein regel mahanim paga kodem shigaro bo chaveiro." Says the Gilyon Marsha, the same halacha will apply also shloshim for a brother. So just to be very precise, in the case that we're discussing, Reuven has a brother, Shimon. Shimon passed away. He passed away 17 days ago. So then, and then Yom Tov comes. In such a case, maybe the halacha is that just like regels mevatel shloshim when it comes to sporos and giyus, etc., etc., we would say that it's mevatel that halacha. Says the Gilyon Marsha, no, we don't. We don't say that. Now, if you take a look at the Piskei Tshuva points out that one could be mefakpik with this svara, because at the end of the day, we generally assume that when it comes to tisporet and giyutz, that these two halachos run together. So, points out the Piskei Tshuva in Sif Katan Gimel that at the end of the day, one might have thought that if the halacha is that tisporet and geyutz is mevutal al yidei haregel, in other words, once you have the regel, so then Gihutz doesn't apply, so then I might have thought that the same halacha of Tisporus should also follow those same rules. Kamash Malan, the chiddush here is no. That when it comes to Gihutz, that Gihutz is broken al yidei shloshim, so I might have thought that Tisporus and Giluach would also follow those same rules. Kamash Malan, the chiddush over here is no. That's what the Piskei Tshuva points out in Sif Katan Gimel. At the end of the day, in Piskei Tshuva, Sif Katan Dalet, as well as the Gilyon Marsha himself, in Dibur HaMaskel V'Noagim, point out that there are Chokim, that the Noda B'Yehuda does say that the Rega would be Mevatel the Shloshim, and you would be able to be Megaleach Be'erev HaRega. What's the chakira? The chakira is the following. Is the halacha of gadol pera a separate halacha, which we saw according to Ravid is a din daraisa, and therefore shloshim cannot be mevatel, or no? Or do we say that when it comes to the halacha of gadol pera, it's part of the same rules of shloshim, and then you could argue that the regel would be mevatel shloshim. Once you say that the regel, just a second, once you say that regel is mevatel shloshim, so then in such a case, it might have been mistaber that in the you would say that regel should be mevatel giur as well. But so it comes out, as we're going to see from Rav Moshe Feinstein, that our assumption is not this way. Our assumption is that the halacha dictates that regel is not going to affect if either you haven't reached shloshim or you haven't reached the state of giur. Then in such a case, regel is not mevatel. Still a question. So that is what we see in regards to the Ramah and the Pischei Tshuva. There is a very fascinating discussion about the Hagdara of what qualifies as Giur. If you take a look, I think we have it in our photocopies, that you take a look at Tosas on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. We might have mentioned this Tosas briefly previously. Tosas on the second Tosas on Chav Beis Amid Beis, Dimar Masla Ad Shiyigaru. So Tosas quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, V'yesh Svarm Shekasaben O Yigaru Chavero B'Yerushalmi V'nirashu To Sofer. Even a couple lines up from that. Brum hacha ad sheyishlach pera v'yigaru bo chaveru v'yomru lo tsei me'imanu. So what is giur? So giur, according to Tosfos, based on the Yerushalmi, is that the friends would say, we don't want to hang out with you. We don't want to be with you altogether. We don't want to be with you. That's what Tosfos on Chav Beis Amid Beis, Dibrei Maskil ad sheyigaru quotes. So, according to Tosfos, it's a little bit of a question, what would the stage of Giur Bizman Hazeh be? I guess it depends on whether they like heavy metal rockers or not. You know, what's his chevra standard of what is Seimei Manu? It's a little bit hard to quantify the Yerushalmi. And that's exactly what Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuvas that you have right after the Gemara. Right after the Gemara, you'll take a look that you have a Tshuva Rav Moshe, which we're going to get to in Chelek Al Siman Reish Nun Gimel, and then you have Tshuvas Kuf Nun Zayin and Kuf Nun Ches. Kuf Nun Vav and Kuf Nun Zayin. Kuf Nun Vav, Kuf Nun Zayin. Unfortunately, they were photocopied in the wrong order. In Kuf Nun Vav, Rav Moshe writes that we don't follow this Tosfos in terms of Lamaisa. He says, because today it's so hard to culturally define Chiguru Bochavero. The Rav Miller's words were that at the end of the day, today everything goes. So since everything goes, then it's hard to qualify what Chiguru Bochavero means. And therefore, Rav Moshe goes back to the Lashon of the Ramah that we began with. The next words in the Ramah that we're up to in Sif Katan Dalid is the following. V'shiur gara yesh bo pluksa v'noagim b'gimel chadashim. And the custom is gimel chadashim. That's what the Rama writes. The custom is gimel chadashim. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam
she'hakol nehyeh bedvarav. Amen.
So Rama says that it's 3 months. Where did the Rama get this 3 months from? So Rav Moshe speculates that the 3 months is the normal time. Either 2 or 3 months is the normal time of when a person's hair looks long. When does a person's hair begin to really look long? When you would have the point in which his friends would notice. Not Tosfos' definition from the Yerushalmi of Tzeimei Imanu. Basically, Rav Moshe says we don't go with that definition. But rather, it's a time in which his friends will notice that he looks different, that he looks strange. The answer is double the amount of time, Ramesha says, that he normally would wait between haircuts. So Ramesha says, in the time of Chazal, that it would be basically 6 weeks. 6 weeks, doubled, is 3 months. that's Ramosha's Hashara. And therefore Ramosha says that that is the Hashara that applies today, and that din of Giyur is a din that applies throughout Yud Beis Chodesh, Ramosha argues. It's going to apply throughout Yud Beis Chodesh, that there's a requirement for him to let his hair grow up until you have Giyur Chavero. Don't read the Ramah as saying that the custom is Gimel Chadashim, that we have a custom that we leave the hair not to be cut the first 3 months. You could read the Ramah that way. We're going to see that there is someone who does read the Ramah that way. That the first 3 months, then he doesn't cut his hair. No, that's not what the Ramah is saying. What the Ramah is saying when he says Minhagim, the Ramah means is that generally we assume that most people take a haircut every 6 weeks, and therefore twice that is going to be 3 months. Now, what comes out from this Ramesha is actually a Chumrah and not a Kula, as well as a lot of clarity. The Chumrah that comes out from Ramesha is not really a Chumrah that is hard to understand. Hafuch, the dissenting position is the one that I find much more difficult to understand, and that is the Shita that is quoted by Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests that the halacha of Giyur is the way that I had presented in terms of the alternative reading of the Ramah. And that is that Avel, l'chvod Avel v'imo, is not supposed to cut his hair for 3 months, and then after that time, then he could cut as he pleases. Where Rabbi Akiva Eger is coming from is that at the end of the day, the Ramah is quite makil as he goes on. The Ramah says, "Umemakos umemkomos elu nogim she'em estaprim al avaim kol yud beis chodesh im lo litzarech kigon she'ichvod alav sa'ara o she'olach bein avdei kochavim umesnabel behem besaros of the mutter l'saper." It seems that Rabbi Akiva Eger read the Ramah as saying the following: the minig is not to cut for 3 months. And after 3 months, we're makil in a lot of instances. In other words, the shiur giur of Yud Beis Chodesh is the first 3 months, and then we're makil. What's the pshat? So Rabbi Akiva Eger understands that really once you reach that state of giur, when they say that your hair is too long, so then in such a case, the requirement to let one's hair grow is basically gone, and if there's any siba, automatically it's going to be Mutter. That's how Rabbi Akiva Eger in Dibra Maschil Kain Heshiv, quoting from the Arzarua, that the Arzarua had so many kulas that the Arzarua says you can be makel here, you can makel there, you can makel there. That's because the Iker Shiur of Giur is the first 3 months. Ramesha, the way we were Mazvir, says no, that's not the correct shot. This is a case where Ramesha disagrees with the Rabbi Akiva Eger. Ramesha says no, in Kufnun Vav and Kufnun Zayin, Ramesha says no, the halacha is a separate halacha, and that is for Yud Beis Chodesh, and Avelef has to let his hair grow. How, when does it reach the point that he no longer has to let his hair grow? When is Tashi Yigru Bo Chavero? L'maynach Gemina, for according to Ramesha's understanding, and this is the way it seemed clear to me that Rav Miller felt strongly one should follow that, even though, because it's the great Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Batei HaShulchan is Nota L'Kula. At the end of the day, it seems to me that this is the correct Hanhaga L'Maisa. The correct Hanhaga L'Maisa is that until he reaches the state of Giur, he needs to let his hair grow. And Memela, Ramosha goes on in Kufnun Zayim, that the same applies also vis-a-vis the Halachos of Regel. As we said, the two go hand in hand. That until, it's not shot that you have a heter of Regel. That when it comes to regal, the regal is not mahani, and that would apply throughout the Yud Beis Chodesh, and not only in the first month. So
three chadashim. The three chadashim wouldn't kill the regal, right?
Correct. Regal is not a factor that you need. You're going to need giur up until you have giur. You're not going to have the heter of regal.
That goes throughout the 12 months,
and that goes throughout the 12 months, as Ramesha says. The post Rabbi Akiva Eger starts handling with the difference between the first 3 months versus the rest of the time. And here would be a case where I mentioned the Badei HaShulchan in our outline. I gave you the Maramakom of the Pnei Baruch. The Pnei Baruch seems to be a little bit more mako than it seems to be our custom is. The Pnei Baruch says in Chav Beis Chav, and this is the English edition, after 3 months time limit has passed, the mourner is permitted to take a haircut as often as he chooses. The lenient custom is the prevalent one. However, some rule strictly. It could be that this sefer was written in Eretz Yisrael, and again, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but our Rabbeim followed the position of Rav Moshe, although if one viewed this as a ki'ilu, two equal shitas, so then in such a case one would say Hilchasa Temekel Ba'avel. But I never understood this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so I was glad to hear when I heard the shir of the Rosh Kol that he also didn't understand Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So and Rav Moshe is quite clear and consistent, and everything makes sense. So it would seem that this shita is the derech hamelech. So these are the five halachos. What's behind these five halachos? In other words, what's behind Yud Beis Chodesh la'avol v'ima, la'avol v'ima? So I have a schus to learn with alumni of this kollel. Some of them are alumni of this kollel in Ramat Beit Shemesh at night. And before I knew that I was going to be learning with you Hilchos Avelos, we had decided to learn Moed Kat. And now we're towards the end of Moed Katan, so it worked out very nicely. So one of the fellows pointed out, when we started the Sugya of Avelos, a Shita of Rashi that I was not aware of. Rashi, towards the end of your booklet on Sukkah, Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, says something fascinating. The Gemara there is discussing someone who's Osek B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, Osek either in Chasana or being Osek in Avelus. So that's the famous Sugya on Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. And there Rashi has a one-liner that is conceptually very, very powerful in regards to Avelus. We're going to come back to this Rashi for two distinct points. Rashi there says that Avelus is done l'chvod aviv v'imo. If you take a look in the three lines from the bottom, Tirda de Rishus, Rashi says she'afal pishu chayiv linog Avelus shel ni'ila rechitza v'sicha laharos kvod meso. Eino chayv l'tzar. This lashon of Rashi, this is the second to last page in the booklet. Rashi, three lines on the bottom, chapeo mid aleph, says two points. Number one is that Avelus, leaving aside the words of the Gemara, the words of the Gemara are fascinating as well, but just the words of Rashi. Rashi says that the requirement of Avelus is l'chvod hameis, which is absolutely fascinating. You could do a lot with it. One of the Avrichim gave a whole chabura about trying to understand, you know, what exactly is the function of Avelus. There are many ways of looking at it. We're going to, of course, make reference to the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav, shortly. So here Rashi says, Laharas kvod meso, eino chayv litzar. Also Rashi points out that there's no chiyuv of litzar. No halachos of Avelus is... Would force a person to reach the point of tzar. So this Rashi is a collector's item on two different levels. Rashi says that's kvod hameis. That's one thing that's critical. And two, he says that there isn't a chiyuv to be mitzar. What we're going to develop, Be'ezer Hashem, in the next 10 minutes, is even though this idea that it's kvod hameis might not be an idea that's accepted by all Rishonim, nevertheless, we're going to see that it's the best way of understanding Yud Beis Chodesh. In other words, there, whatever the rationale of Avelus is for Shiva and Shloshim, is it makes sense, we're going to argue, to understand that when it comes to Yud Beis Chodesh, the Yud Beis Chodesh is about a special Chiyuv L'Chabed Aviv Imo. Ramesha has a very powerful argument. Have you ever had someone ask you this argument? This is important, Rav Moshe Feinstein, to have in your pocket in terms of Hashkafa of Hilchos Avelus. Rav Moshe, in the first tshuva in our photocopies, in Chelek Aleph of Yoredeya, in Reish Nun Hey, right after the Gemaras in their booklets, Rav Moshe deals with the famous question, and that is, why is it that if God forbid, one of the probably the most greatest tragedy in the world, that could happen, and that is for a parent to bury a child. Unfortunately, this week I was just an avelus of an elderly neighbor of ours whose daughter passed away, mother with children. There's nothing more awful than to watch that when a parent has to sit shiva for a child. So this woman, she's going to sit shiva and shlosha, and there's no yud beis chodesh. There's no yud beis chodesh. Yet for other v'imo, which is a derech ha'olam, the derech ha'olam is for a child to bury a parent after 120. You don't have the opposite, right? There's no after 120 if it's in the other direction, if a parent is burying a child. So, yes, you only have shloshim. I've been asked that question before. So Ramesha says the answer is obvious. The answer is that this is not about the depths of avelus. Yud Beis Chodesh is not about depths of avelus. It's a chelik in the halacha of being mechaved of avi'ima. We discussed this in terms of in details in Ramon, explaining a minug in the Ramah of Yachaf, and maybe the Gemara, the Shakvatari, the Gemara in Chafam and Beis. But this is the Yisod of Yud Beis Chodesh. Yud Beis Chodesh is based on the idea of kvod of avi'ima. If we push the question back to Shloshim and Yud Beis and Shiva, then we actually get into a fascinating Machlokas Haposkim, and that I put in the Maror Mekomos that we went all the way back to Simin Shin Dalid Mem. If you take a look in Shin Dalid Mem, we have the Sugya of Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has the conceptual question that I was dancing around before when I was Medayik in Rashi. And that is, what is a hesped for? Is hesped yikra de shchiva or yikra de chayin? This Gemara in Sanhedrin is one of the most important conceptual and hashkafic Gemaras all that relate to avelus in general. And that is a what's the purpose of a hesped? Anybody who says a hesped needs to know this Gemara. What is the purpose of the hesped? Is the hesped about showing kavod for the nifter? Is it about showing kavod for the nifter, or is it about showing ha'arachas, an understanding of the pain of the avelim? Is it focused towards the kavod of the nifter, or is it yikra dechaye? I don't have time in machshava right now to develop what does yikra dechaye mean, what does yikra deshriva mean. Those are fascinating questions. But for now, this is the Gemara Shaila in Sanhedrin on Daf Memvav going on to I think it's Memvav and Alf going on to Memvav and Beis. Is that correct? Memvav and Beis going to Memvav. So that's what the Gemara, that's the Gemara Shaila. Now, what's beautiful in Shulchan Aruch is you can learn through the Gemaras, but at the end of the day, in Shulchan Aruch you get the bottom line. What's a nafkamina? A nafkamina is going to be the following: what happens if the nifter says, "I don't want a hesped. I don't want to have spit." The Pesachei Teshuvah has a fascinating discussion. What happens if he's one of the Gedolei Ador?
Abitur Shechter Swami.
What happens if he's one of the Gedolei Ador? Yeah. So there's the same halacha apply. So the Pesachei Teshuvah has a discussion. Wow, look at this. Take a look at this Pesachei Teshuvah. He drops a lot of interesting names over here in this. Three lines into the wide, and Sifkat and Aleph, Behavi B'Shem Hanod B'Yuda, Shamar Behe Shehispid Lagon Bal Pnei Yeshua. That Pnei Yeshua, I hold, is one of the best achronim for Shana Bet and Shana Gimel boys. The Pnei Yeshua's questions are I tell the Talmidim if they want to look at something after they've done the Sugya well, not to look at Reb Chaim and the Ksais. I love Reb Chaim and the Ksais. But the place to look if you want to see the Sugya well, is you look in the Pnei Yeshua. That's the Sifkat and Aleph, Shin Dal and Mem Aleph. He says that there was the Pnei Yeshua was Mitzav Shalol Aspido, but the Noda B'Yuda didn't listen to him because at the end of the day he was a rash behag, etc., etc. So that's a fascinating question. Maybe that even though we paskin that the halacha is that it's Yikra to Shchiva, and therefore it's there to show haracha for the person who passed away. It's there for him. And if he says that he doesn't want it, so then So the halacha is shomen lo. That's what you have in Shulchan Aruch. Shin dalet mem yud. Mi shetziva shlois bedu. Shomen lo. So then you're going to listen to him because we follow that it's yichra, yichra de shchiva. Again, the fascinating question about whether someone who it's no longer about him. In other words, he represents. We have a yisod in Chassidus. Pardon, but that's the best way of being masbir. There's a musag in Chassidus that the tzaddik is koilel the dar. Tzaddik is koilel the entire dar. It's not just the tzaddik is no longer an individual. He represents all of Klai. So I told you the beautiful thing that I heard from Rav Fendel. Nod your heads about Ramosha Feinstein's Levaya. Oh, so okay. And if the recorder didn't hear, for sure I have to say it. So they say that that Rav Fendel said that this is a beautiful, beautiful derher he had. He's Ramosha. I remember as a child when Ramosha Zatzal passed away. It's appropriate because we just quote a few of Ramosha's beautiful tshuvas. So that when Ramosha passed away, so there was a large levaya. I remember as a child it was Tainus Esther. Ramosha passed away in Tainus Esther, and Ramosha had a massive levaya here in Yerushalayim. In those days it was Ma'avar al Arayon. This was the beginning of the ascent of the Olam HaTorah, where people realized that a tremendous amount of people will be ma'arich post Gedar. Ramosha Feinstein's Levaya, I think there were 250,000 people. Now, when Chacham Avadia passed away, there was close to 1,800,000 or so that came to. But Ramosha, that was a turning point, if you will, in the history of Eretz Yisrael and Gedolei Torah and so on. That it was Shushan Purim, and that was also ironic. It was Shushan Purim. It was in Yerushalayim itself. So 250,000 people came to Ramesh, and keep in mind that Ramesh didn't even live in Eretz Yisrael. Anyhow, so that was, so Rav Fendel said he was at the, Rav Fendel's the Rav of Steirot. So he said he was at the Levaya, and he was walking along somewhere around Yafo, which is a large crowd, and he then realized that he's standing next to Rav David Feinstein, Shlita and Rav Ruven Feinstein. So David and Rav Ruven came with Ramesha's guftar to Eretz Yisrael, and here was the Kura. He said, but they were walking with everybody else. So he said he had a hargasha that they had given him back to Klal Yisrael. In other words, they were the sons, but Ramesha belonged to all of Klal Yisrael. So they were walking with the rest of Klal Yisrael with Ramesha. Ramesha was part, everybody in Klal, we're all children of Ramesha. We're all the Talmidim Arkibanim. So there's that certain the hargasha that they had given Ramesha back to Klai. So now they walked with everybody else, and that's what this bechina is. So it could be that in such a case, then the tzaddik doesn't have the right. The tzaddik can't. The Pnei Yeshua can't. He belongs to all of us. So Pnei Yeshua could say to his children. A normal person could say to his children, and so on and so forth. But a person who reaches this madrega is no longer bailim on himself. I got you to like a piece of Hasidus, not bad. Okay, so here, so the Chavar says, "Mi shetziva shelo yisbedu eshomen lo." So that's how the Mechaber paskins. Except for maybe the Pesachei Teshuva raises other people. By the way, Rav Miller said that by Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal's Levaya, he also had given a command not to be maspid. Rav Shlomo Zalman was then the next massive Levaya here in Eretz Yisrael. So it was then 300,000, 350. What's that? 400. Anyhow, at the end, so the children said that he said not to be maspid, and they're only going to say a couple of things that they think that the tzibur could learn from his life. But it wasn't a full-fledged hesped. I think his children stayed relative to that request. Oh, so we're about to, you need to get me back from the Hasidus. So now, very good. So now, what happens is like this. So the Mechaber says, says that it's Yikra de Shechiva. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, Avlam Tziva Shelo Linhog, Alav Shivo Gzera Shloishim Ein Shomen Lo. But if the Nifter says, I don't want you to sit Shiva or Shloshim for me, so then you don't listen to him. Oh, so what emerges? Hesped, this is the way many of the Gedolei Achron say. This is what Rabbi Kiv Eger says. Do you remember Avlam Tziva? So says Rabbi Akiva Egron Zivra Maslam Siva. Hesped, how does it work? Hesped is what? Hesped Yikra Deshchiva. However, when it comes to Shiva and Shloshim, says not Yikra Deshchiva. He's not the Bailam over it like he is Hesped. So maybe it's Yikra Dechaye, maybe it's something else, but he's not the Bailam over it to the side. Oh. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger gets stuck in a massive stira. What's the massive stira? In Shin Mem Hei Aleph, we have an example which seems to be exactly the Chakira of Yikra Deshchiva, Yikra Dechaye, but the inverse. And that is someone who, God forbid, commits suicide. Says the Mechaber Shin Mem Hei Aleph, Hama'abed Atzmoy Ladas, Amos asking him the chol davar, ve'amos ablin alav, ve'amos bin anoisai, ve'loi karen ve'loi choltan, av lo'omdim lo b'shura. So someone who commits suicide, so then there's no avelus. This is a Gemara. This is a Gemara also in Sanhedrin, and also the Bryce and Evo Rabbosi, and that is a ma'abed atzvo ladas, does not have avelus. By the way, don't paskin this on your own. First of all, this is an extremely, extremely sensitive topic. Extremely, extremely sensitive topic from the beginning until the end. I just have to also express a little bit of absolute frustration with the modern world. And that is, how could the modern world tolerate a television show which exalts a teenager committing suicide? It doesn't... It's mamish, you know, when my rabbeim used to say kistom va'amora hayinu, I thought that they were being mugzam, but it's crazy. And therefore it's a no-brainer that we have to raise our children with some level of fences around. You know, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And the unfortunately, the culture of it doesn't today's crazy culture doesn't even preclude the unfathomable, and that is to exult in ma'abed atzmo ladas. You would have thought humanity by this time would have gotten to a different place, but it hasn't, unfortunately. Nachzor l'inyanenu, ma'abed atzmo ladas, there is no avelus. Now, that is a very, very sensitive sugya, and I just want to point out in terms of halacha l'maisa, that is that there are many, many times that Rabbanim will not tell the family Hashem Yirachim not to sit Shiva, and the reason for that is because many, many a time they will assume that it wasn't a coherent decision Ma'amid Atzma Ladas, and that is that there are psychiatric conditions that are involved, there are addictions that are involved, there are television shows that are involved, etc., etc., all of the ills of society. And some of them are not only society, but some of the challenges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And at the end of the day, before you tell a family what to do in such instance, we should never know it. Should never ever know it. In such a case, you should know that an Adam Gadol needs to be consulted. But this is the basic halacha in the Gemara. Haba Ame Atzmo Ladas Ein Misablim Aleim. Yeah. No, that's what the Mechaber says. V'lo Korim. Chaver says there's no kriya. There isn't even kriya. The only thing is that there is bilchas avelim, and notice how the Chaver concludes v'chol davar shu kavod l'chaim. In other words, the rationale behind this halacha is the following: ma'abed atzmo ludas is that the individual lost, unfortunately, his zechuyos for all of the halachas that pertain to him. However, the halachos that pertain to the relatives, so those still apply. That also compounds the sensitivity. If you know that the avelim needs something, so, you know, even there, again, Adam Gadol needs to be consulted, but even there, if memela that becomes kavod l'chaim, they don't need to suffer, even if it was made as a coherent decision. Okay, so kavod l'chaim still applies. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, this is a machlokes rishonim. This is a machlokes rishonim, whether misablim aleihem or not. It's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. What's the machlokes? Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, quoting from the Kesef Mishnah, that the machlokes is whether avelus is kavod l'meisim or kavod l'chaim. If you say it's kavod l'meisim, so then in such a case, then he's lost his right, the ma'abed atzol das has lost his right. But if you say it's kavod l'chaim, so then he hasn't. And hence, the lashon of the mechaber, v'chol davar shu kavod l'chaim, it's not kavod l'chaim, therefore, it doesn't apply. Mashma, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that what? That avelus is what? Avelus is kavod l'meisim. But wait a second. What did we have before? We had the Marivail, quoted in the Ramah, in Sif Yud, that says that you don't listen to him. So from there it's mashma that Avelus is not Yikra Deshchiva. Now, one could be mefalpel and answer Rabbi Kiva Eger's stira. But this is Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that l'chura there are two nafkaminos of whether Avelus is kavod l'meisim or kavod l'chaim. Number one, do you listen to him if he says, don't do avelus for me, A. And number two is ma'abed atzmo das. Asks Rabbi Kiva Eger that the two contradict each other. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's sarachiyun. Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't have an answer. Rabosai, I hope you write a Beis Yitzchak article. Somebody here writes a Beis Yitzchak article, try to answer Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha. But at the end of the day, one thing, you don't need a Beis Yitzchak article. You have a beautiful shach. The Shach doesn't give an answer, but comes along the Shach, and the Shach cements everything for us over here, in a one-liner. The Shach in Siv Katan Tes, Ein Shoyim in Loi, Avot Sivam Ha'ad V'ha'em Shalo L'Negbor Hem Yubeis Chodesh, Kivon De'en HaShayach B'Shar Mesim, Ela B'Kavod Av'em Mitzvah L'Kayim D'Ibrahim. The truth is, it's not the Shach, it's already the Marivail himself. Says the Marivail, Svei Dinim. There's Yud Beis Chodesh. This is part of the reason I felt responsible that we should give a separate share for Yud Beis Chodesh. Because really, Yud Beis Chodesh is a balzunda de halacha. It's an entirely separate halacha from Avelus of Shiva and Shloshim. Shiva and Shloshim is Avelus. Yud Beis Chodesh is really belongs in Hilchas by Kibud Av Ve'Em, if you will. It's an extension of Hilchas Kibud Av Ve'Em. And that is that one shows deference to one's parents. And that a kavod is that this is a different type of avelus, and that reflects all of the components of kibud avaim. Ramesh Zatzal has in Reish Nun Hey goes on and has a fascinating halacha lemaisa application of this, and that is the following. He talks about I'm not very impressed with the fellow in this shaila. I doubt you will be as well. Ramesha discusses a fellow who is being honored by the synagogue, and his wife is in Yud Beis Chodesh. And Simchas Mereis, the shul is having a Simchas Mereis. And the guy has decided, because in the Jewish press there's always the picture of the husband and the wife, that there's no way, if he's getting honored, that his trophy wife is not going to be there as well. And that is, the Shaila is as follows. Presented to Ramesha, that she really is not so excited, she's in Yud Beis Chodesh for her mother or her father. But, at the end of the day, it's going to be create Shalom Bayis if she doesn't go with her husband. So I would suggest that there are other Shalom Bayis issues. In other words, this is not the core issue of Shalom Bayis. This is the Shaila exactly, and that what's going on is that he insists that his wife comes even though she doesn't want to come. So then there are other issues that are at play. He should come Thursday nights, et cetera, and let him leave his kibudim on the side. But at the end of the day, Ramesha answers al pi halacha, and Ramesha says like this. Ramesha says that the following is so. He says, if this would be an issue of Shalom Bayis, for sure the husband is wrong for insisting, but al pi halacha, he thinks that's going to be mutter for her to go. Why? Because we know that a woman, if she has a conflict between Baila, the Gemara in Kedushin, you guys are learning this, right? The Gemara in Kedushin that says that in the Lamed, the Gemara says that if she has a conflict between her husband and Kibud Av Ve'Em, so then in such a case, she's under the Rishus of the Baal. So again, leaving aside whether this husband is doing the right thing, Al Pi Machshava, but at the end of the day, she is not Chayiv in Yud Beis Chodesh, because Yud Beis Chodesh is a chiyuv of Kibud Av Ve'Em. Her chiyuv of Kibud Av Ve'Em falls away if it conflicts with the Ratzon HaBaal. That's Ramesh's beautiful application, And what's misameach mamish is that Miller pointed out is that Rav Moshe says the svara of Yud Beis Chodesh L'Avavimo on his own. It's a pella, he doesn't make reference to the Shach, and he says it's mistaber to me that Yud Beis Chodesh is a separate halacha of Kavod Kibud Av V'Em. Turns out Rav Moshe was mechaving to the Shach. Rav Moshe, this is written around Tavshin Yutes. So, by the way, Rav Shechter Shlita, I saw him once get emotional, he said Rav Moshe knew every Prima Gadon Baal Peh. So it's a tzarechiyun why Rav Moshe wasn't mitzayin to this. Could be the Rav Moshe when he was writing didn't have the Svarim, whatever it might be, however you masbir. But at the end of the day, Rav Moshe was the Das HaTorah was correct that like the Shach develops, and that is that Yud Beis Chodesh is a separate halacha. Okay, we've Baruch Hashem really gave this topic its appropriate due that we didn't do last time. So now, one more point just in terms of halacha lemaisa, 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 halacha lemaisa. Now we can understand the line in the Pnei Baruch that I made reference to in responding to Moshe's question last week, and that is some rule that the time limit is twice the person's customary amount of time between haircuts. Thus, if he customarily has a haircut once a month, the time limit would be 2 months, and I think that this svara is kapto referach, and this should be the way, in terms of halacha lemaisa, it would seem to be that would be the appropriate way to be knowing, as I mentioned last week. Yeah.
So in the example that Rabbi just gave, where you usually get every 1 month, and then we give it every 2 months.
Correct.
Is that starting from when he was in Avil or from his last haircut? 2 months from his last haircut, whenever.
Right. Remember, you asked me that. The Talmud previously had asked me that question. Where does it start from? Does it start from his previous haircut, or does it start from the ptira itself? So I need to think more about it, but it would seem to me, like I said previously, that at the end of the day, the moment in which he reaches the state of Giyur, then in such a case, then he could cut. However, with one caveat, not within Shloshim. Because within Shloshim, we follow the Shitas, and this I didn't say last time, and the Talmidim asked me. And because we saw that there are Shitas that hold that even though Regel is Mevatel Shloshim, but Regel is not Mevatel Tisporus. And that's the Pashtos. And last time I didn't elaborate on that point, that there are two issues over here. There's Shloshim as well as Yud Beis Chodesh. So it could very well be that within Shloshim is a separate halacha, Gadol Pera, and that Ramevin Yavin would be telling the Noda Biyuda, etc., etc. But bottom line, if you're asking bottom line is that you should not cut his hair at all during Shloshim, but anything after, once there's Giur Chaver. Are there more lenient opinions? Yes, but it seems that this is the Mahalach that our Rabbeim went with. Okay? Let's please Hashem continue. Maybe we'll get to that later on in Bezer Hashem. Bezer Hashem, we'll try to get to that later on. I'd like to touch on a simon that generally is not looked at very often, but is halacha lemaisa, and that is Shin Sadi Beis, and that is the iser for a avel to get married. Just to make a couple of points, and then Bezer Hashem begin Dhamma for Shabbos V'yontif. In simon Shin Sadi Beis, in Sif Aleph, we have the following halacha. The Mechaber says, Asa lisa isha kol shoshim yom, vafilu below su'uda, ula achar shoshim mutter, afilu ovel v'ima, vafilu laso su'uda. So it's prohibited for an ovel to get married. However, after shloshim, it's permissible, because of the mitzvah of nesu'in. Umutu l'kadosh isha afilu b'yom hamisu, v'shalo yasa su'uda, l'mkala avru shloshim yom. So generally, nesu'in is not done within shloshim. However, if he's afraid, we always have this rule, shemi kadmenu acher, that until he's got the ring on the finger, nothing's a done deal. So then, in such a case, he could do that immediately after Shiva. That's just, of course, the Erisin. So that's straightforward. That's an extension of Halachos HaSimchas Mereyus with a heter that's saying that Nisuin you're already allowed to do after Shloshim, even for Yud Beis Chodesh. So an exception to the rule of the Isser Simcha. Siv Beis is another fascinating diun. The Mechaber says, Mesa Ishto Aser Lisa Acheres. Sif Aleph was talking about any instance, a bachelor that lost the father. So what's the halacha? So the answer is that after 30 days he's allowed to do nisuin. However, what happens if he's now a widower? His wife passed away. So then, this is a sugya on Daf Chof Gimel, and what comes out is it's machlokis in the Gemara. We paskin in the following way: Ad sheyavru aleh shalosh regalim. He needs to wait for three regalim to pass, three full regalim. Even though we're going to see later on, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim are considered like a regal in terms of Hilchos Avelos. Mechaber says Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim einum chashuvim k'regalim l'inyan zeh. They're not considered a regal. However, there's one very important exception. A, vim lo kiyem mitzvahs piri v'rivya. Exception number one is if he hasn't yet fulfilled peru or vu. So then he doesn't need to wait three regalim. O, sheyesh lo banim ktanim. Or he has small children who need a mother. O, she'en lo mishish mishenu. He doesn't have someone to take care of him. Mutter likadesh miyad v'lichnos achar shiva. Already after shiva, it's permissible. V'lo yavo aleha el achar shloshim. What would be the cheshbon? The cheshbon would be that the woman would take care of his children, or would take care of the house, but really he should not reach the state of nisuin earliest until after shloshim. Elim ken lokim mitzvahs piriyivirya shas mutter lavo achar shiva. By the way, here you see how chavav the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya is, that we would allow him to get married immediately after Shiva and to be Boel.
Why is there an Isser Tov Shloshim? I mean, it's not generally necessary for people who are married Tov Shloshim for Bia, it's only after Shiva.
Correct. That might get involved with the explanation of the Rishonim that we're going to see shortly about the rationale of Shalosh Regalim. Now, the rationale of waiting for Shalosh Regalim, yes?
For the Piri V'Rivya, does that mean, like, Daka, son and daughter?
That's right. That means a son and daughter. Mikra Dedina, we're going to see the Badei HaShulchan as a slightly, quoting others, expands this, but right now, one would fulfill, he would not be able to have this heter, the simple pshat of Shulchan Aruch in general, both Evan Ezra and Ir, unless he did not have both a son or a daughter. But if he had five boys and no girls, then also he would have the mitzvah. Okay. The Tosas in Daf Chav Gimel on the Beis gives us two interesting explanations behind this halacha. Tosas raises the two possible explanations of why you need to wait Gimel Chadashim. One explanation that Tosas gives is that it's based on the idea, I'm going out of order, I'm giving Tosas a second explanation first. The second explanation Tosas gives is that there's a halacha that a husband and wife, a husband is not allowed to be together with his wife if he's chas v'chalila thinking about another woman. So Tosas says that until three regalim have passed, his mind is still on his previous wife. So he needs to wait 3 months, three regalim, before he reaches that point. That's Tosas' first explanation. Second explanation, excuse me. His first explanation, the Ramaskal Ad, is a very cryptic line. I said the second one first because I wanted to read it to you inside. Tosas says, Ad shiya shlosha regalim belo simcha velo yishkach avas ishto. So Tosas says, a widower, is destined to spend three regalim shalo besimcha, because and not forget avas ishto. In other words, this is a requirement. The requirement is almost, it sounds like from Tosas, in deference to his first wife, that in such a case he holds back. This is Tosas Dibur Maskil Ad Sheyavru. How you exactly Tosas's kavana over here is a little bit unclear, but it says that Tosas says he's supposed to wait for three regalim below simcha below yishkach avas ishto. Fascinating, a very human Tosas, if you will. Okay, so two explanations for Tosas' wife. I'm even young, Rav Yonatan, the question you would ask me might be dependent on these on these reasons. Okay, but either way, halacha lemaisa, the bottom line is that he's supposed to wait for three regal. However, some might be surprised that often, obviously every situation is different, and how this one goes about it, it's a very, very, very sensitive sugya, a very sensitive sugya. Anybody who's been involved in the sugya knows how sensitive this sugya is. But at the end of the day, there are a bunch of heterim on the books that, if you've heard of people who've gotten married, widowers who've gotten married before, three regalim have passed, and the Badei HaShulchan collects them. It's in our photocopies. It's right after the Tshuva from Ramosha. Once again, there it's out of order. The second page is the first page of the photocopy. The Badei HaShulchan is Shin Sadi Beis, Sifkotam Lamige Beis, where he gives four kulas, built off of the kulas in the Shulchan Aruch, four classic kulas of why many instances they don't wait for Gimel Regalim. Number one, he says, in Aleph, it's halfway through that the Sifkotam Lamige Beis, or that on that page, he says that we follow the opinions, connects to what Avi had asked me earlier, that not only is there a mitzvah of pruer vu, but there's also a mitzvah of lo so vera l'sheves yitzara. And that is, there's a mitzvah to have more children, not just to have a boy and a girl. It's a mitzvah to have many children. And since there's a mitzvah to have many children, so some say that pruer vu over here is lav dafka. And as long as he's the man and the woman are at the age that they could have more children, so then in such a case, the mitzvah is docha, those two svaras that we had seen in Tosas. Obviously, I would imagine if the man feels that he could not fulfill either of Tosas's tnaim, then maybe we would still tell him not to get married. But at the end of the day, as far as what the halacha bottom line says, Badei HaShulchan quotes some who suggest this svara. That's A. B is, we mentioned from the Ramah, if there are any young children, automatically says the Badei HaShulchan, it's mutter. That's what we already saw in the Ramah. Gimel is that there's some who learn the whole sugya that we're talking about a man who had two wives, and then one of them passed away. Because we saw that if he doesn't have mi she yishmeshenu, someone to take care of him. So what does it mean, mi shishmeshenu? So you could say, he doesn't have servants, well, he's not so wealthy. So his wife takes care of him. By the way, we are also supposed to take care of our wives. It's not only supposed to be one direction. But the wife takes care of him. That's a good thing. Just have to make sure it goes in both directions. So she takes care of him, and he takes care of her. So now, the moment in which she passes away, it's a dover pashut. They doesn't have mishish mishenu. And even if he has servants and so on and so forth, at the end of the day, the Gemara, when it said mishish mishenu, meant another wife to take care of him. We never had a havamina that's what it meant. But there are some who learn that way. In the time of the Gemara, men did have multiple wives. So some argue that bizman hazeh, the whole halacha doesn't apply because he doesn't have mishish mishenu, and a wife qualifies as such. And even servants would not qualify. This heter is quite common, especially if you have a widower who doesn't have children nearby, etc., etc., and he is ready to remarry. So then, in such a case, that would be the halacha. Finally, they talk about tragically, if an instance when the wife was already sick for a while and she was in the hospital and they didn't live together normally as husband or wife. So then the time clock doesn't start from the moment that she passed away. It starts from the moment that she was sick. So the Badei HaShulchan Svara is fourth Svara. So let's say she was sick, God forbid, for 6 months. She was in hospice care and hospital and so on and so forth. So then you start from, it will be basically one Yom Tov usually, once one Yom Tov passes. And that would work beautifully with the second Svara of Tosas. Because the point is, according to Tosas, the second Svara is the idea that he was with her, he'll be thinking about her. It takes time for him to forget about her. But if it's something that, that anyhow, they weren't living husband and wife for 6 months, so then, especially according to Tosas, second Svarah doesn't apply. Ba'adei Shulchan says we use any one of these kulas. Halach l'mayseh, that's what the Ba'adei Shulchan says. Yes, sir.
I just
want
to ask the third point that Ba'adei Shulchan said. Maybe said some learned the sugya that he had two wives.
Right.
That
it goes like this. That the in an instance when he has another wife, so then in such a case, it's yesh lo mishi mishmishenu. And the and then in such a case, then he can't get remarried. But the sugya was never talking about a person who didn't have a wife. And when it says she ain lo mishish meshenu, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have servants and he's all alone and he's living mamish by himself. He could have all the servants in the world. He could have all the children nearby in the world. V'chulei v'chulei. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't have a wife, that's ain lo mishish meshenu. So when the Gemara said he can't remarry, the Gemara was talking about an instance where he was still married to one woman. Then he can't remarry another woman. But if he doesn't have any wife, then by definition, that's what the Mechaber was talking about when it says, Ein lo mishi yish mishenu. It didn't mean the way you and I think, read it, meant that he didn't have servants, etc., etc. No. It means he doesn't have another wife. The moment in which he doesn't have another wife, then it's Ein lo mishi yish mishenu, and then it's mutter for him to get remarried.
But then that means also that when the Chavis said Misa Ishto, Asher Lisa Acheres, means that he was married to two wives.
Exactly. That's going to be the Ukimta. Correct. Okay. I'd like to hear feedback from the Talmid in many ways. This is a nice place to stop. We'll have a short shiur today. We'll stop over here and we'll pick up with Avel Shabbos and Yontif on Monday. The only downside that I can think of is that we might not finish on Monday. I think in many ways it's good. And there's no Avera to have a shiur that's only an hour and 5 minutes, right? No Avera. So we'll stop here. It should be a good Shabbos.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Yeah. You okay?
Right. Okay, you do the I'll give you a carrot.
Because we
want
too much.
Carrot will be that you won't be on the hook. Right?
Oh, you didn't turn it off?